Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The great little book of stress release by R. Duncan Wallace, M.D., is called The Stress Releasing Tool, a book that saved my life, a guide to improve the quality of your life. As a doctor of the human psyche for 54 years, R. Duncan Wallace, M.D., has discovered valuable psychological truths that create most of our mental and emotional functioning in all areas of living. Rarely are they used knowingly because they are largely unconscious and unknown until now. In the great little book of stress release, Dr. Wallace discusses their application to the area of stress. You'll learn how to instantly remove most stress, what causes 95% of stress, why most stress is unnecessary, and how to eventually eliminate most stress. R. Duncan Wallace, M.D., has practiced psychiatry for 54 years, including serving as medical doctor for 8 psychiatric hospitals and 11 inpatient programs. He's a former president of the Utah Psychiatric Association, married, 6 grown children, lives in Salt Lake City, Utah. R. Duncan Wallace, M.D., author of the great little book of stress release, our guest on This Week in America. Dr. Wallace, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Rick. I'm delighted to be here, and I feel it's important, and thank you so much for having me.
Well, I feel it's important, and thank you for being here. It's something we're all dealing with, especially in these times, is stress-related situations. First of all, let's talk about the why. Why did you decide to write this book, the great little book of stress release? How did this come about?
Well, what I can tell you is I began to make discoveries beyond what I'd been taught or learned in training after I'd been out into the field for maybe 2 to 3 years. And I was able to make discoveries about how people would spend their session and how it would go, what I could learn and teach them. And I myself was a tremendous stress producer, always was, and I would feel it strongly and much mental pressure in my mind. I noticed many of my patients did. So then I began to work on what was causing it. I would ask them and myself questions and eventually began to figure out what seemed to make it happen. What I ended up discovering was a very simple but powerful thing that created stress. If one violates the logic of future happenings, in the sense that I'm going to cause this to occur, I want to do this, I would like to do that, and you say to yourself, and this is one that just about 95% of people use, I must do this today, I've got to get it done, I've got to hurry up so I can get home and feed the kids, or I've got to hurry up because I've got a show to put on tonight, or this, and oh, I can't let that happen, it can't happen to me. And I began to notice and hear, and notice in myself, and you can do this experiment yourself, if you use absolute certain statements about the future when you're motivating yourself, your self-talk, as you decide to go forward, you create tremendous pressure in your mind. I even had a favorite friend who one time said, oh boy, she said, I get up in the morning, she taught school, I have to get the kids off to school, got to get them breakfast. Then I got to go to the store, get some food for dinner tonight. And then I got to stop and get the mail on the way home, got to correct some papers. Then I get my daughter to a dance class. And by the end of the day, I'm just exhausted.
I'm exhausted hearing about what she's going through.
Yeah. And so she would get a lot of pressure. So I ended up realizing that crucial absolute thinking, the must, the have to, the no exceptions about the future was what was creating the mental pressure. And so I quickly thought, well, how do I stop my own? And I began to do experiments with different thought patterns. And I eventually found my favorite one is, nothing is necessary, things are preferable. I'll do it if I'm able. Now that's a lot to say every time you're saying there's this to do and this to do and this to do. But instead of saying I must or I have to, I shorten it to nothing is necessary. If you look at people thinking about the future, I say, now look, why not see what you did in the past? How did you accomplish that? How did you cause that little thing to happen when you had that day and you did 5 or 6 things? I said, well, I did this, and then I started that. I got interrupted, but then I went to that, and then I did this, and, you know, and that's how I did it. I said, right. I said, is there any pressure in that statement? Well, no. I said, right. Why not? Well, I don't know. I said, because you're not applying different logic to the future. If you just say, I will do this, I'm able, you don't feel pressure.
This is such an amazing concept in Dr. Wallace's book. The book is The Great Little Book of Stress Release, R. Duncan Wallace, M.D. You talk about you were able to get your mind into what you call a continuous state of active tranquility. I love that. You said it pretty much changed your life. You laugh more. You're able to take things as they come in stride. Talk about that, passing it on to others. And is this something you can teach to a variety of people?
Oh, sure. And I have done so. I discovered this in 1981 myself. And then I began to apply it, and I would catch myself starting to use a pressure statement like, I must, I have to, I've got patients coming in and a talk tonight. Wait a minute, nothing's necessary. I'll do it if I'm able. If I can't get it done, I won't be done. I began to think and talk like that. And after 3 years, I never created pressure again. I've been pressure-free since that time. So I thought, wow, this is important. And I do laugh a lot. I found my sleep need went down about 2 hours a night after I did that because I wasn't wasting energy all day long. So things were a lot, lot better. And so I began to teach this to my patients. They liked it. I had a group that met for 13 years and discussed concepts that I would discover during the week. And we'd discuss them and elaborate them. And this was one of the most obvious. And what I realized is I have a stepdaughter that says, oh boy, I'm all stressed out. It's been a busy day. She's a mental health person. And she seemed to be almost, said it with almost a sense of pride that she'd done so much, she was all stressed out. And then I taught her how not to do that. And she's even lectured to her hospitals on this concept. It can be taught in big, large groups. In 1982 at the University of Utah, after discovering this, I taught 400 women in the fall conference how to not create mental pressure. I asked them at the start of the lecture and demonstration, I even had them stand up and do certain exercises to get the idea. Seven out of 400 thought that they may create the stress themselves. 393 did not. And they thought the boss did it or somebody else caused it. And that was the reason for it. So by the end of the lecture, after I helped them to demonstrate it, they were able to realize that 393 realized they created the mental pressure in themselves. It wasn't the boss. It wasn't the job to do. It was the way they thought and talk to themselves about it. Seven still thought it came from the outside, but that's a pretty good reversal.
Well, it really is.
In a short period of time.
You talk in the book a lot about truth and how important that is in really assessing our situation. And you talk about everybody, and starting with you, and this came about literally talking over years with thousands of your clients, of your patients, the releaser thought. What is the releaser thought, and can all of us implement that in our daily lives in trying to de-stress?
Absolutely, and that's the quick, fun thing about it. My favorite releaser thought is simply a true thought about the reality of how we accomplish things and whether or not we would be able to. Look, if you don't have the ability to do it, you can't accomplish it, even if you want to. If you have the ability and you have the time and you don't get interrupted by something else and change priority, you will accomplish what you set out to do. And so there are a lot of factors that go into it, and your mind knows that sometimes you get interrupted, change priorities. If your son just has a bicycle accident, breaks his leg, they're taking him to the university hospital, you stop what you're doing. You don't pick up the groceries that day. You know, you get something else done. So your mind through living through thousands of experiences, lifetime, you really know what the truth of reality is, that you will do this or you will do that. based on the most important thing. So I thought, okay, what's a good truth thought? And I thought of every possibility I could, and the most pervasive was nothing is necessary. Everything, certain things are preferable or more desirable to do now than others. And I found my mind relaxed. And I found when I did that, I could almost feel a hum of neutrality. I call it active tranquility. It was a wonderful feeling. I felt like I was in peace about it. And my mind, I even felt like I was on vacation all the time. Even when I was working, I thought, wow, this is amazing. I don't pressure like I used to. I'm relaxed. Yes. And so I started teaching people and asking them to create the truth about how they, what they do to accomplish something. And when they would just say it in a matter-of-fact manner, they would come up with things, well, I'll do the best I can. I'll do it if I'm able. Gosh, that sounds important. Let's get to it. When you say that, there's no pressure. But if you say, I must do that, I've got to get that done, you can suddenly feel your hands clenching. And you can feel tight all over.
Yes.
And I would have people close their eyes and take them through those kinds of sayings in their mind and ask them to tell me what they felt, or the rest of the group. And every time, the one was pressure when they used the absolutes, and the one was clear and no pressure and pleasantness when they didn't.
You know, you mentioned
this is important. Wow.
Yeah, you yeah. mentioned the group before where most people overwhelmingly thought that pressure was outside factors. It wasn't something they created. But as you're talking about that and you're thinking, you know, that pressure comes from my thought, not necessarily the reality of the situation, but how I perceive that reality and the pressure I put on myself. The book is The Great Little Book of Stress Release. The author is R. Duncan Wallace, M.D. You'll find it on sale at all Amazon sites, Barnes & Noble, Page Turner's Bookstore, Chapters Indigo in Canada, Waterstones in the U.K., Booktopia in Australia, New Zealand, and a whole lot more. And information, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Talk about some of the illogical thought patterns that most of us probably unknowingly use. What are some of those so we can avoid these?
Well, for sure, on creating mental pressure, stress, again, I've got to do this, I must, I have to. I've got to not let this happen. If you're thinking something bad is going to occur, you try to resist it and hold it out. We can't let this happen. It'll wreck everything if it does. And you start using those absolute statements about the future because it could happen. That's the whole point.
Yes.
Instead of saying this could happen, let's prevent it if we're able. No pressure. But the other way, there is pressure. And I had that same friend who did all those things in the day and would be exhausted at night. She was what I call a chain linker. She would link all of her musts and have-tos. I've got to do this so then I can do that, and then I've got to do something else so that I don't let that happen. And she would chain link about 30 or 40 do's and must-do's by the end of the day, and she would think through them. Of course, when she accomplished one, she could drop that off the list. So the reason I call it chain linking, I say to people, how heavy is a chain link fence that's lying on the ground, 50 feet of it? How heavy is that to lift and try and put in place? It's a visual analogy. They get the point. I said, so you're chain linking all these musts and have-tos. You're putting that much added pressure on yourself. How much more can you really take? A lot of people blow up when they hit that point. My daughter had a neighbor in a little cubicle next to her. She was working on financial products for a company, and her neighbor named Chad would just throw his things across the room, and every time he'd get stressed, he'd blow up and create a heck of a mess.
Yes.
And she said, oh my gosh, if only he knew, because by then she knew it, you know. So that's the illogical type of thinking patterns that people tend to put on themselves.
Well, and you talk about that so much. They are trying to get certainty ahead of time. It's illogical.
Yes.
And can't be done. And when you think about it, that's so true. We're working in our minds and we're trying to resolve situations that are in the future. We can't do that, can we?
No, we can't. As a matter of fact, a surgeon friend of mine who's a brilliant Harvard-trained surgeon said, oh, I see, you're trying to force the future. That was the way he described it. And you can't do that. Look, the future's got uncertainties. Even if you've got everything nailed down ahead of time and you think, okay, this should work out, there could be a change. There could be a shift in priority. Something else could happen. We had an earthquake here 1 year ago. That obviously stopped us from doing what we planned on doing while the earthquake happened. Things will occur. So you can't get certainty ahead of time. That's illogical. What you do know is the future is uncertain. And the way you handle the uncertainties of any kind is try to produce best ways of doing to complete the situation and make it certain, that is the certainty of completion on any project you're doing. And then you let go and do something else. But people are saying they need to do that ahead of time. And you can't. You can't do that. You can say it, but you can't do it.
But so you what can't happens? Do that. And if you say it, you're planning it in your mind, it seems like, and then it becomes your reality. You're trying to do it. Our guest on the program is R. Duncan Wallace, M.D., author of the book, The Great Little Book of Stress Release. We'll have more with Dr. Wallace after these messages you're listening to This Week in America. We'll be right back.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now.
You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4530. 802-341-4530. 802-341-4530. That's 802-341-4530.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy. Some uncle I never knew called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars. And they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-817-2871. 800-817-2871. That's 800-817-2871.